Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What about my buddy Tim Thomas?
That one has hit a mile! Hello, Chicago!
Mr. Incredible.
And man, does he put a charge into it. As a member of the White Sox, and he comes out to take a bow.
He's got to be one of the two or three greatest human beings that I've ever known.
Tommy waits for the 3-2. Here it is. A swing and a high fly ball left center field. He's going to join the 500 club.
Number 500 for Jim Tomey.
He was always to my mind, saying, just hit a home run. We don't win that many games without home run. The soon Tommy hit that one, and now we got a chance.
2-2. Yeah! And in the air, deep to center field, Gomez going back, looking up, it's gone! Jim Tomey with a home run!
There's nothing like Southside pride.
Sox win! Sox win! Great play by Anderson. The White Sox, with their 163rd game, miss their 89th win.
A bow by Tomey, and this game is over!
Deep to left field. This ball's high! It's deep! Number 600 for Jim Tomey!
In living the dream that is Major League Baseball, the best part is not the result, but taking the journey with the people whose contributions make it all possible. Baseball is beautiful, and I am forever in its service. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It doesn't get much better than that. That is a diehard White Sox fan, Chris Tannehill, making a Hall of Fame open for a Hall of Famer, Jim Tomey, with us on the McNeil Parkin Show with Matt Spiegel in as we're live at Camelback Ranch. You were smiling pretty big during that intro,
pretty
Jim.
Pretty special there. That was nice. Thank him for that. That's great.
He's listening right now.
Yes, that's really cool. Brings back a lot of memories. You know, that's the best part of hearing stuff like that, because it kind of takes you back to those special moments.
Any of those special moments in particular that you hadn't thought about in a while?
The speech, you know, like when you're giving the speech, it's not like every day you're hearing the speech in Cooperstown. And then, you know, the Ed Farmer 500th call, and they were all great. The game 163, the blackout game.
I mean,
that was one of the highlights, just the game in general. I mean, hitting the home run was great, but that game, I was saying yesterday how crisp, how great pitched, how well played it was. And then, obviously, coming out on top was what it's all about.
Jim, you said in your speech there that it's the journey that you remember and the people. And that journey started in spring for you time and time and time again. Yeah. And saw you down on the field before. What does it feel like to be a part of spring again with this group right now?
It's truly has been one of my most favorite times playing baseball. When you'd prepare, when you'd come to spring training, the journey, as I said, to get ready for opening day and the process, right? You know, so as I became a veteran, I learned, okay, I wanted this many at-bats. I wanted to accomplish this. I never wanted to put a lot of pressure if this wasn't happening. And, yeah, it's the grind. And then still being blessed to be around the game and with this job and to be able to give that input to young players and then watch them grow is what it's all about.
Jim, which members of this White Sox roster have you buddied up to? Which guys have sought your counsel on the task?
I love them all. To be honest, I love them all. I mean, you know, the best part of this is we could sit here and talk for the next hour about each of them, and I would rave about each one of them, and that's what's cool. You know, I love Sheets. I love Madrigal. How do you not love Louis Robert? Eloy, you know, the progression that Eloy, hitting 31 home runs last year in how many ever games, which wasn't a full season, that gives you, I think, hope to see what eventually he could do, you know, in the long haul. Then we get to our pitching. You know, you talk about watching Kopech throw on a backfield and then Lopez. There's so many of our guys that we got Homer there. This kid, Delmonico, what a great spring he's had. I've watched his early work. I've watched, you know, he's healthy. He's positive. He's strong. I mean, we got guys not only that we project to be in our starting lineup, but it's similar to our years in Cleveland where we got guys now in the minor leagues pushing to get to the major leagues.
We're talking to Jim Thome here on The Score. Yeah, that was Nicky Delmonico with a two-run homer scoring Luis Robert. You can't really talk about the White Sox without talking about the hype around Robert. I was talking to Eloy earlier today, and he said that he is going to be the best player in baseball. That was a day after making the Mike Trout comp. What's your evaluation of him? Give us the scouting report.
I mean, I love everything he does. I think, you know, when you watch him run, when you watch him throw, when you watch, for me, as an offensive guy, and I watch hitters, I watch, okay, how much movement do they have? How short can you get to the baseball and be as quick as you can with hitting major league pitching? And let's face it, even more so than when I played, I mean, this is an era, like, guys are throwing 97, 98, 100 miles an hour, and you don't have much time to react. So when you can slow yourself down, as Louis Robert does, it puts him in really good position. Mechanically, across the board, if you watched him run, throw, hit, you dream. Now, the one thing he does have to do, he's got to play at the major league level. We all know that. And by the progression and the dreaming, we call it, it's going to be so much fun to watch this kid at every step. And it might be months, it might be a week, that you see that progression each time, and it's going to be fun to just watch his journey.
I wonder if pitchers are going to find a way to get him right here at the early part. He had a little trouble making contact at AAA. Yeah. It's good that he's coming in short, right? It's good that the swing path is short.
Yep.
What do you think he's going to have to learn early on here?
Well, I think, and I always say this, so, you know, March, hitting in the sixth inning to the ninth inning in March is a lot different than hitting in April when you have those big, let's say the game is isolated, where you're bringing in a specific reliever. You know, the game of spring training is about getting work. So you might have a young guy in the seventh inning to where in April, that guy's out there and he's throwing 100 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour. That's the progression of becoming a big leaguer. And again, we're excited. We're really not only with Louis, but a lot of our young guys, just watching them keep growing and become what we know they're going to be.
Offensively, it certainly figures to be a very exciting team. Some blemishes defensively, Jim, and some question marks at the corner outfield spots. Tim Anderson won a batting title last year, but he made a hell of a lot of errors. What have you seen here from what they're doing that gives you reason to be encouraged? Let's start with Eloy defensively.
Yeah, I think when you look at, I mean, across the board, the time that our coaching staff, our player development, our people that work around the front office, you see the work being put in. And I think in anything, it's like our years in Cleveland, there's growth every year, but you got to put sweat equity. You got to get out, you got to do it, You got to put the work in, and they're doing that. And that's, you got to rely on time, experience, and just growing as a young player that all that's going to work. Not every player, when they come to the major leagues, is the perfect player. And I really credit our players because they really put the work in and they want to become better.
Jim, in that vein, you know, you were a third baseman, then a first baseman, and obviously a DH. There's a lot of guys on this team that are probably going to get starts, multiple starts at DH. It's going to be something that rotates around, very common in the American League. What advice do you have for the guy who's like, nah, I want to be playing. I want to feel like I'm in the game.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Eloy is going to all of a sudden be like, you know, you my DH 15 times. Like, what advice do you give to keep them in the game when they're not, you know, in the game?
When they're DHing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When they're used to be fielding.
Right. And I had to go through that, you know, that experience to where it was like, okay, you have to get a routine. And getting that routine down and understanding that, look, even though you are DHing, it feels like sometimes you're pinch hitting for four at-bats a game. There's a happy balance of knowing, you know, okay, I got to go do my work, but yet I got to be on the bench and I got to watch the game, but yet I don't want to sit around too long. You have to get up and move and stay into the game, but keep your body active so it doesn't feel like, you know, you're just getting up and hitting.
Man, I love thinking about those Indians teams that you've referenced a couple of times. So much fun to watch everybody come up together, develop together, and then a front office would wisely go out and grab the right piece. Eddie Murray as a designated hitter, right?
Yes.
Here's Edwin Encarnacion as a designated hitter coming in his late 30s. What does it mean to add a veteran like that into the middle of a lineup full of kids who are developing at the same time?
So I'll speak, you know, about our experience with Eddie. When you get a guy like Eddie, Oral Hershiser, Dennis Martinez, Dave Winfield, when these guys walk in a room, there's instant calm. It's almost like, okay, they're here. So when a guy like Edwin Abreu walks in a room and you go, they're here, we're ready to go. That's how we felt in Cleveland.
Wow.
Those guys as leaders, and it was amazing to watch Eddie when he ground out or hit a double or a homer. The demeanor was the same. He never got too high, never got too low, never threw equipment. And you look up and you go, man, September, he's almost driving in 90 runs, 100 runs. You know, he's got almost 30 home. But there's this calm kind of feeling that you just know that it's going to rub off on guys. And that demeanor helped us, who was similar where we're at, into our growth, into becoming that calm demeanor as well.
What did you guys all learn together as you came up together and played together in spring and in early in seasons? You're playing next to each other at the same time, so you're learning stuff together.
Being hungry and really wanting to win. I think you put everything aside. The ultimate goal every day was to win. And if one guy got hot or the next guy got hot, you didn't want to get left behind. Because one thing about those Indian teams, if you didn't put the work in and if you didn't produce, you knew in the minor leagues you had guys coming. And they would, you know, so that challenged you. But also having all those great players, and when they would produce, you'd want to jump on board.
Jim, I see you're wearing one of your favorite golf courses, the shirt there.
Yes.
Is your golf swing as violent as your baseball
swing?
It is. Is it really? I've wondered that for a long time.
It's hard, and it's fun. It's fun. I love it. Now,
Did you see the Trout video?
Now, I will tell you this. So you get off the tee, and you feel good about yourself, you know, 40% of the time. So then you get, okay, you got to approach that second shot.
Uh-oh.
Now the challenge is, okay, you know, be smooth, be soft, just hit it up on the green, and then that's where the frustration happens.
I'm going to keep using my phrase Tommy time then, because I've tried to slow down, and then I say hell with it on the fifth swing. It's like I'm just going to grind my spikes into the tee box. It's Tommy time.
I'm a great scramble player.
Let Jim drive.
I can putt and I can drive, so it's all good.
we're talking to Jim Thome here on the score. So, all right, I got to ask you maybe the hokey radio question. How many home runs? You hit 612. How many home runs would you have hit if you knew what was coming?
If you heard a trash can banging.
God knows how many. You know, if you knew a fastball was coming.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I would cheat and get the head of the bat out there. And, I mean, I don't want to put a number, but more than I did. Put it that way. Way more than I did.
It's more egregious than just about any form of cheating we've ever heard about, isn't it? Because it
feels way like over the top.
This is the game. That's the essence of the game, is you figuring out what's coming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we're all on the same here. You know, across baseball, you've heard guys comment. I mean, it's to the integrity of the game. It just was not right. And, you know, look, it's for about a month and a half here, it's been the topic. We've all had to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's just really for, as I can always say, the integrity of the game is, hey, that guy that's out there and you're in the box, you want to compete and you want to know you got a fair shake. That's at the end of the day what you want.
I'm also interested in your role here. It was cool to see you out during batting practice. And sometimes the best coaches are maybe, you know, the backup catchers or something like that. And sometimes the great hitters or the great basketball players, they struggle with the – because you're like, wait, why can't you do what I was able to do? Have you had any of that as you try to impart your wisdom on younger players?
Well, I try to know each player and – the one thing with my job is we have great coaches, and that's their area.
Right.
Okay, but when a young guy asks a question, you want to give him, you know, you want to be objective, and you want to give him the question that he's asking. If a guy asks me about where I held my hands or what was I thinking in the box, working in the front office and being around on the field, you want to give those, you know, you want to give him a chance and to succeed. And but then what you do is you go back, you talk to the hitting guy, hey, we had this conversation, just so across the board we're all on the same page with all of our guys, and we're giving them good information. And when you sit back like today and you watch them hit a fastball, or you see them hit a double or a home run, that's when you sit up here and you go, that's what's great about
this
job.
Nice. Jim, the Twins hit 307 homers last year. They're the favorite in the Central. Finish the statement. The White Sox will leapfrog the Twins and win the Central if.
It's a pregnant pause.
If Edwin and Abreu drive in 100 runs together. That's my prediction.
Okay.
If those two guys drive in the 100 runs, which with Abreu is probably, you know, knock on wood, we're hoping he does it. But if him and Edwin, I'm just going to say if they drive in 100, then we'll leapfrog the Twins.
That'd be great.
Your 1995 Indians team that went to the World Series at 100 RBIs from Manny Ramirez.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good. And Albert Bell. So there's two guys with 100 RBIs
in 95.
Right there. In 95. Yeah. So and that,
what did I have?
You had a pretty good year. Let's see. Tommy, 92 runs scored, excuse me, and RBI 73. So little bit down on the
little
ribbies.
Down.
But it depends where you're hitting.
I learned a lot from those two.
Did you?
I learned a lot on how to drive in runs, and you had to learn. You better get them all because they're going to get them if you don't.
Well,
as that proves.
Yeah. Well, you had three guys on that team who scored at least 90 runs.
Yeah.
So if those guys are driving in runs, then that means 1, 2, 3 probably are all doing their job and getting
them. Well, and then look. We could talk about, I would say healthy. Let's put the word healthy out there. When you can stay healthy and have the guys that we think are going to be on the field, that's – look, it's going to be a fun year. To say we're going to do this and we're going to do that is hard in March, but it's going to be a heck of a fun year for our Southside fans. And I, being around Chicago and being around my son with the youth baseball, it's great to see our fans really excited about our club.
What's it like being a sports dad with your kid in
it's
baseball?
It's intense.
Yeah?
That's a... watching youth baseball is intense. Yeah.
When you got a dog in the fight in a different kind of way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
You ever get on the umpire?
Never. Never.
Good for you.
Cell phone. That is my rule. I will never argue with an umpire at the youth level. You just don't do it.
But you want him to succeed, and you can't get out there and actually do
it.
It's
fun. It's way more, for me, it's intense watching your son compete. Now I understand what my parents went through.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and wanting them to succeed so bad, but understanding you can't be on top of the mountain all the time.
Do you have a great Manny Ramirez story?
Manny was just very unique. Manny, you know, I loved Manny. Manny was a fun-loving kid that loved to play the game. He might grab one of my socks. He would take Baerga's other sock. This kid had just a great gift to hit a baseball. And he was fun-loving. He enjoyed the game. It was great to be his teammate.
I always thought that exactly the kind of stuff that made him great, like he didn't care, right? He was
Blood pressure was low.
It was low. But that was the kind of stuff that would frustrate you sometimes later and off the field. Same guy, though.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, there was no guy that worked as hard. This guy prepared and he just loved to play and he loved to do well.
Jim Thome, everyone says a Hall of Famer and a Hall of Fame human.
Thank you.
That is a hell of an introduction, by the way. I don't know how you get that one. Hall of Fame human.
Born on the same day as Mother Teresa, August 27th, babies. I'm one of them, so.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mac, Mother Teresa,
are you 27?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, 10 years before you were born.
Maybe those are the three guys, three humans that Jerry Reinsdorf
That's
said
exactly
was
it.
His favorite humans.
Yeah.
Because that was the quote.
Alex Lifeson of Rush is an 827, baby.
Jim, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it.
Enjoy the sunshine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.